Well, glad to spend a little time with you this morning. I did have a way too big a title. Maybe I'm going to try to restate that a little bit. What we're really trying to do here is having irrigated cotton in a bunch of different soils. What I was trying to do is say not all soils respond to irrigation the same, and so we can't just make an irrigation management zone by saying there's more than 50% of this soil in this area, so it should be X, because another soil that might be have a lesser fraction might produce more yield when you irrigate it. So that's kind of what we're trying to accomplish here, is look at how different soils respond to irrigation and how that might change our zonings. I was going to just use the tablet, but I guess I'll try this method instead. So this is a field we've been working with for quite a while, and it has a good variety of soils. And what it really is there's a silt loam cap over sand, and some places that silt loam is very deep. And so, like in our plots here in this map where it's green, it's more than 42 inches, so it's pretty much all silt loam. Some places, and you can see it right here, there's the silt loam and there's the sand underneath it. Some places, it's only where it's red here, it's less than 24 inches you'll hit sand. And in fact, when it's that shallow, that sand starts to get mixed up in that surface soil, so it becomes more like a loam than a silt loam. And then in between 24 and 42 inches till you hit sand, as you go down, it's kind of an intermediate water holding capacity. And it shows up really easily if you even have an aerial. Some aerials just that came off of Google Maps, you can see the sandy area showing up, very similar patterns on our plots right here. Or if you're standing out in the field at the right time, it's easy, really, most times actually, it's easy to see this sandy area. The canopy is way less developed than over here where the soil is better. So we got a good variety of soil water holding capacities. Now, on top of those soil water holding capacities, we're putting an irrigation experiment. And so for each soil type, we're going to do different deficit irrigation through drip irrigation. We're going to start irrigating at initiation at first square and then at first bloom. And when we come on, we're going to come on at different deficit rates. Even this 1.5 inch per week is a little behind the full water consumption rate of cotton, and all the way down to just a half an inch per week. Now, don't get the idea that we're always putting this water on. We are adjusting for rainfall, okay? So if it rained an inch or more out there, we're not going to turn this thing on at all. So we are adjusting for that. So we have the soils, we have the irrigation experiment on top of it, just to get a little overview of, again, how much variability we have here to work with and see how things respond. We have three soil types that range from 0.7 inches per foot of water holding capacity almost to 2, so almost a threefold difference there. And then we have these different years from 2010 to 2014. Three of them were pretty wet. Look at this during the growing season, 23 inches, 32, 33 inches of rainfall. That's a lot of water. These were well distributed. Actually, when we had all this irrigation, it came in more in spurts, big rainfalls here and there. And we had two dry periods. One, a very classic, when we expect to get dry at the end of July through August. And then one that was really unexpected, getting dry in June. So we have a good distribution. I still think we're a little weighted towards wet over maybe a longer-term average, but still a good variety of years and soils to look at. I'm going to try to capture, this is a lot, so I'm going to try to get through this, but this is really a pared-down version of all the data we collected from this experiment over 5 years. But what you should clue on is we have the different soil types, the sand, the intermediate silt loam over sand, and the deep silt loam in these columns. We've got the years here, but let's skip right away to the averages. And so what I've pulled out of all this data for you is, here's the rain-fed yield in the sand. It's one bale or 500 pounds of lint. We go to the silt loam of sand where it's better water holding capacity. We double that to 1,000. And then this really good soil, never having a drop of irrigation on it, we get 1,400 pounds of lint. Okay, so, and we're not always using this. We're re-randomizing the plots, so we're not always putting the rain fed in the same spot. So this, we feel pretty good about delineating the soils on that basis. And if you look at how much, if we take our best deficit rate of irrigation, we've almost brought them all up equal. So we got three bales or 1,500 pounds on our best soils, and we're only about 100 pounds behind that on our sand. So with the best irrigation treatment we had, we were able to bring all those yields up almost even, but we had to do it with different amounts of water, about on average 7 inches, 3.5 inches, and a little less than 2 inches to do that over those years. So you can see we need less water to get that job done on those different soils. Just a few other things to point out before we move on is that in our best soil, there were a few years where we didn't need any irrigation, just these two dry years, because that soil just buffers the impact of those dry periods enough to get through them and get optimum yield without irrigation. But everything else, we needed irrigation to optimize yield. If we looked at it, you'd see that even these different amounts have to be applied at different times to work. So it doesn't all work together very well. What you won't see in this information is some of the interactions of what happens when, say, here's in the wet years, here's our silt loam. If we the optimal's here and we have a drop in irrigation as we go to, or yield as good high rate, but in the wet years we even had a drop in the sandy soil. Whereas the dry years, the sandy soil sticks keep going up as we go towards the highest irrigation, whereas then the silt loam drops down. So this is kind of incompatible to irrigate similarly. You're losing yield while you're still gaining yield. So that's going to be into this. I showed all this data before. What I did with it now is something different. I made linear equations out of all this data, okay? And so this is what's the new part. And so basically, remember I said the 500. So for a rain-fed equation with different soil fractions, that's the sand, that's the intermediate. The X3 variable is the silty deep silt loam. So if you remember, that was the optimum yield for the 5 years of data for the sand and rain fed. That was the optimum for, or the rain fed, not optimum, the rain fed yield, and that was the one for the silt loam. So they're all there. So whatever fraction of soil you had in the field, if you place that fraction in there, you get your overall yield for that soil. Again, if you could irrigate all those soils perfectly in that field, you could put that same fraction in there and say, with the best precision variable rate system we had, this is the potential or possible yield. If you're getting, so you can see all those high optimum rates that I already showed you in that earlier table. Now, what's maybe a little harder to pick up what I'm trying to do here is what if you had different mixes of soil, but you decided, well, I don't like a little bit of sand burning up in my field. I'm going to irrigate to that sand, and you made sand irrigation decisions for a whole field where you had maybe bigger proportions of the other soils. What's going to happen? And I did that for each one. Which soil are you going to follow to optimize your irrigation rate? So I think it's a kind of good for any mix of soil in a field. This is something really simplistic. You could put in 50% of the intermediate, 25 and 25, and you could see what would be with rain fed, what would be optimum, and you went through all these. You could say, oh, maybe I should still. It looks like I should should have irrigated with one irrigation decision. I should have done the intermediate, but maybe the sand performed so much better that it was better for the overall field yield to do that. So again, things get more complicated, and you could use these equations to start trying different pie shapes with different fractions in each pie, and then come up with your optimum. So you can see how you'd use these equations. What I did was something kind of different because I like to visualize things. Instead of just optimizing linear equations, we need to do that at some point. I wanted to visualize the data first. And so what I did was, I took these equations and one of these is a dependent variable, so we got rid of one of the variables because if you have 25 of this and 50 of this, there's 25 of something else. So we got rid of one variable and then graphed it 3D. And it looks like that, quite a big mess, right? All right. But what these planes represent, so this is the rain-fed plane. Remember that 500 pounds of yield, there's the 1,000 and there's the 1,400 where our rain-fed yields. So that plane represents any mixture of soil, what that yield would be. Here's that optimum. If we could irrigate all those soils exactly like we'd want to, that's our upper limit of potential, that plane there. And these are in betweeners. If we say we're just going to follow the sand, this is the optimal result we could get if we irrigated to keep that sand as getting as much yield as possible. It's not quite as much as the total optimum if we did it all perfectly, right? One other thing I did was I broke it out into the wet years, and you see it kind of compresses the five-year average, and the dry years kind of spreads it out and makes bigger differences, which makes sense. You get more from irrigating when it's a dry year. So, and again, I think when it's spread out here, we can see a little better. So let's just say you thought, well, sand, I got to irrigate my sands, and you can see this is 100% sand along this lot to 0% sand. You can see for most percentages of sand, that is a good decision. Even well past 50%, that should be the optimum way to irrigate a zone that had more than 50% sand in. But then you can see this blue one is the intermediate, irrigating to the intermediate soil, or this is to the silt loam. There is some time period when those are really the majority soil, where irrigating to meet their needs would be the better thing to do. Is that making any sense to visualize it, or is this just a big gobbledygook? You might have to sit and ponder it for a while, but it just was a way for me to say, okay, can I see this whole thing at one time? And one way to simplify it a little bit, and it won't seem simple until you think about it a little bit, is these planes cross each other. So where, say, the intermediate crosses the optimized for the sand, there's a line where there's equal yield. And so on this side of it, irrigating the sand would be better. On this side of it, irrigating to the intermediate would be better, right? Okay? So I just pulled that data out to make it two-dimensional. And so on this side, the sand is optimum. It'd be better if you had, you know, 25% sand and, or no, 75% sand and 25% intermediate soil, that'd be equal yield. It wouldn't matter. Well, you probably want to put less water on for the intermediate soil, but anytime you're back here at 40%, 30%, even though that's a minority part of the soil, you should be irrigating for that sand because your overall yield is going to be larger. Okay? And so even as you get more silt in it, it doesn't change a whole lot, maybe from 25 to 15%. So you can see, I think I can see, anyway, how important it is to get that optimum yield in the sand in most situations because it has so much more yield potential than the other soils. And then I just did something else here. I looked at what about comparing the when is the silt loam optimized versus or higher than following the intermediate. And one thing to notice is that if you had 20% sand, you already should be following the sand, and so most of the time we'd be following the intermediate instead of the silt loam in making a best irrigation decision. So I don't know, maybe that's a little bit abstract, but that's what I was trying to accomplish here. So some rules of thumb, maybe how you should put more weight towards one soil versus the other. So with that, I guess, yeah, just this kind of summary. You know, we can use this kind of data with linear equations to try to optimize how you could optimize pie-shaped zones versus section control if you had these linear equations. Irrigation, you know, one thing that could change this, I just did yield. And we didn't talk about it in the presentation, but if the cost of water would push that away from the sand, right? So we're putting on 6 inches of water in the sand and only 2 on the silt loam, so there's more cost to that. So now you could say, well, maybe 25% is not the cutoff. Maybe it's 30% because it costs more to irrigate that sand and put all that waste, all that water on the other soil, right? And then there's the cost of society. If it's 30% sand and you say, I got to irrigate to get my optimum yield by irrigating that sand, but you wasted water on 70% of the field, what's the cost to society? So, again, if we put in some of those factors, it pushes us a little bit in a different direction. Again, I think I had a good representation of soil types out here, at least as far as watering capacity. It's only one variety, though, so how well does this match other varieties? I'm not sure. I put this in thinking I don't really know how to optimize linear equations anymore, but I just remember one of my students did it for soil, so I think we could put yields back in there. I think we have a way to do that, but I need some help. Other ways to optimize these linear equations. But anyway, if anybody has some good ideas, I'd take those. We have a little time for questions, I think. So
we've got about 2 minutes if you got any questions.
First, tell me, did it make any sense? Yes.
I understand your X1, X2, X3 is a normalized percentage of the area. But Did you come up with a constant that you multiply these three variables?
It was from the yield data we had from all those years of data on those soil types. So if you had this fraction of soil, this fraction of soil, this fraction of soil, we had the yields identified in those past experiments. Yeah, so that was the rain-fed yield that we got for the sand. That was the rain-fed yield we got in the 5-year average for the intermediate, and that was the rain-fed yield we got for the silt loam soil. Okay? This was the yield we got. This was the yield we got when we put the best deficit irrigation rate on the sand. So they're very similar now. They're very equal, almost all 3-bale cotton. So whatever, if you could do it like this system, you could get the right water on each type. But that doesn't happen in reality very much. You could irrigate these all differently, appropriately for that soil, and put that fraction in 25%, 50%, and 25%, and say this would be our estimate of yield. But I'm really using it to say how we should zone to start with. You know, so in these, which way am I? These, you can see here's the optimum yield for the intermediates. These match. But when we put this amount of water on, this is what happened in the other soils. They went down from the optimum. See? So
why you multiply by 1 and multiply?
Oh, I'm sorry. There's not a mall. It's just how we
X1, X2,
X2, 3. Sorry.
Okay.